Oh, that's 10 minutes of the show. We're never getting that.
Yeah. This is Meredith, the MVH Van Harn, joining you from Money Pit Studios in Detroit, Michigan, and this show has everything. Shots, shots, shot, shots, shot, shots, shots, shot, shots. Hey, it's almost that time of year again. Spring break. Pack your thong and not much else. We're going on a beach anywhere but Miami because they've made it clear they don't want another riot on their hands like last year. Joining me today to talk about our riotous spring break histories in Stick a Butter Studios in New Brighton, Minnesota, it's Anne, Vodka and Red Bull, Hold the Red Bull and the Vodka and Add Diet Coke, Lundholm. Hi, Anne.
I forgot my thong.
Whoops. I'll bring
have to go without it.
Oh, my goodness. Anne. And in Salad Dressing Room Studios in West Roxbury, Massachusetts, it's Bobby, Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna pape ya. How was that? Bit of a reach.
I'm wearing my thong, but still can't find it.
And you have a wet t-shirt on.
It's cold in here.
And of course, yep, in Middle Age Mama Studios in Austin, Texas, it's Hillary. This beach goes all the way around Butler, San Pedro Island. That was also a reach.
I packed my t-shirt cannon or whatever because I thought it might be appropriate for this episode.
Good. Well, today on the show, of course, we've got some small talk. We're going to read your responses to last week's question of the week. We've got some Tishy recommends for you. And of course, we'll let you know how you can get involved with the show. But first up is small talk. Hillary, what's up with your spring break?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to say that I had to quickly toggle back over to the run sheet because I was deep in Eliza Dushku's Wikipedia page. So that's for the Patreon. okay, yes. So spring break is here in Texas, and somebody was like, wow, it's so early. But the thing is, like, we didn't get out of school before Memorial Day, so it kind of actually is correct for us.
That's okay. It's spring break at the U.
Yeah. This is the time. And the Butler family is going where every spring breaker is going. We're going to Washington, D.C.
Party.
I know.
That's another too early for cherry. Like to not have another riot for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Get ready for Rory Butler. He is going to be rioting at the Capitol because we will be at the Capitol.
Riot at the Capitol, wouldn't he?
It's like, where's the monument to Davy Crockett? we're going. I'm excited. I thought, well, we wanted to take him there. I have a lot of family there that I haven't seen in a little bit. And you know, since this might be the last year of democracy, I thought let's give it a run. Let's go see some historical things. So yeah, we're going this Saturday. Our flight leaves so early. I don't know why I booked it, except that it was like must have been way less expensive, and I was feeling, I don't know, a different way about myself then. But I'm excited. We are touring the Capitol. I tried to get a White House tour and it was all booked up. So touring the Capitol. We're going to do that.
This is what happens when the First Lady has a job.
I know. God, come on. But yeah, we're going to go to the Air and Space Museum. We're going to go to... Rory requested to go to the Holocaust Museum, which is like fine. That's actually the only one I'm like... nervous about a little bit. I'm not a nervous traveler. I'm never like, oh, I'm scared about, like, it's not like I'd go to Chicago and be like, I'm nervous about the crime here. Like, that's just not something, maybe I'm naive, but it's just not something that enters my head. The Holocaust Museum, I'm a little bit nervous about just because of, you know, the world right now. But, you know,
I mean, I cried my head off at Alcatraz, so I can't imagine what I would do at, you know, the Holocaust Museum.
I've been before.
Let's not forget that I cried my eyes out at the Coca-Cola Museum, so anything is possible.
I've been to the Holocaust Museum before, like right kind of when it opened, and it's one of those places you could spend like hours and hours there. I'm gonna maybe like boop it along a little bit just because I'm like, we don't need to spend 5 hours here. But anyway, we're really excited. I haven't been in a while. The weather is, I don't know, it'll be like in the 50s and 60s, which is fine because it's already in the 80s here. So I'm like, that's right. Let's just still like keep on with the wintry spring weather as long as it's not raining too much. But yeah, I'm excited. And I, you know, if anybody has recommendations, I'm open to them. I've made some reservations, but I'm very like, wherever the wind takes us is what's going to happen. So yeah.
Sure.
So, yes, I know. I know. I'm like, I like to have like one event every day, and then the rest of the time it's like we can walk around or take naps or what have
well,
you.
Well, I'll need your recommendations because I'm going the first week of April for a conference. Well,
I will tell you. Actually, I did watch a little bit of Phil this past weekend because the new season of Phil is on, and he did go to Washington, D.C. And there are two restaurants. One, my cousin had already recommended to me, this Indian restaurant, which sounds really good. I think my kids are fine eaters, but like I kind of feel like it might be like a touch maybe like they would,
spicy.
They would probably like it. Well, one, they would, no, it's not even the spicy, they would probably like it. I think it might be a touch expensive for what I want to pay for my kids to have. Like I would be a little bit annoyed about paying that much. But then there's this place called Yellow that that Phil went to, that's like a Mediterranean kind of restaurant. That's there's no reservations. You just go in, and it, that sounds really good to me. So anyway, if anybody else has recommendations, I'll tell you, and then or you tell me, and then I'll tell Meredith, and it's gonna be be great.
All, no reservations is Anthony Bourdain, RIP. So,
I knew
not
you were.
Second of all, you gotta go to Ben's. Go to Ben's.
What's Ben's?
Ben's Chili Bowl.
Ben's Chili Bowl.
Oh, no.
You
okay.
Go to Ben's.
That was
okay.
On Phil's.
Oh, I mean, oh, you know, I did see that. I did see
you,
that part.
You just probably just ignored the poor people food part.
I only like fancy people food.
Now, Ben's is great. I mean, I go there every time I'm in D.C.
How
while,
touristy
but...
is it? Because I've seen so much publicity for them.
It's pretty touristy, but, you know, if you go on a Tuesday at 2 o'clock or whatever, I don't think you're going to have a problem. I think locals still eat there, too, although... There is like a giant mural with a bunch of luminaries on it. And
oh, wow.
Sure. Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And,
of course.
Yeah, just do it to of go course. Take a picture with the Barack Obama mural.
I know. Well,
I'd hang a picture of Barack Obama up in my house if he came to visit me.
Same. Oh, my
See,
gosh.
There you go.
I'm excited, though, because I like to go to cities, you know, sometimes like Dallas or like Atlanta or whatever. Like, there are good parts of those cities, but they just look like kind of generic cities. DC, along with like, I don't know, maybe New Orleans or something, like they're so distinct looking that it's, I want my kids to see it and be like, look how different everything is. Like, everything is so uniform in DC, you know, the limestone buildings and all that. And I haven't been there since 2018, so I'm pumped to go. So yeah, if anybody has recommendations besides Ben's, I'm all ears.
Sadly, the museum has closed, or else I would recommend the museum.
I've already been to the museum way back in the day, but yeah, the kids maybe would have liked it. I'm sure that Rory wants to go to like the FBI museum. I'm so cheap though, but because the FBI museum charges, and I'm like, let's stick to the Smithsonian ones. They're free. All right, moving on. A lot of this is me. Sorry. I just want to remind everybody, while I will be in DC, do not worry. I will be watching the Oscars.
Thank God.
I know. Christy and I will be on the Facebook page. I just want to remind y'all. Also, this is good news for me being on the East Coast this time. The Oscars start an hour earlier this year. So
isn't this going to come out after the Oscars?
Oh, shoot. Well, it'll come out that night. Okay, well, okay. I'll just put a reminder on the on the Facebook page. You're right. So, yes, future Hillary will be exhausted but very happy. On that note... I just want to give a little parenting nod to myself. Not really, but I'm trying to complete all the, and I don't think I will, but I'm trying to complete all the Oscar Best Picture nominees for this year. Just like see, and I've seen a majority of them, but you know, I decided to watch Oppenheimer and Rory really wanted to see it. And I was like, okay, we can watch it, but like you have to be quiet. Like you cannot ask me questions because I have also not seen this movie.
Good
so
luck.
You just need to watch the movie. And he asked some questions, but he was mostly okay. We did have to split it up in two because it is 3 hours long. And we both really enjoyed it. I have some notes, but I did enjoy it probably more than I thought I was because I kind of thought it was going to be a little bit more homeworky. And it was, I mean, Christopher Nolan's a good filmmaker. Shocker. He's going to win Best Director, and it's going to win Best Picture. There's a part, and I kind of heard about this, but I was like, how bad could it be? Have y'all seen Oppenheimer?
Yeah.
No.
There's the Florence Pugh part. I was like, and there's a couple of them. I was like, Rory, look towards me. Just look towards me. He was like, why? And I was like, just look towards me. And I'm not a prude, but she is like nude on top of him, like gyrating. And I'm like, just, this is.
He's a little young for that. Yeah.
He's a little young. And then there's a part more in it where it kind of happens again. And I was like, look towards me, please. But yes, it's weird. This is, you know, Dave will let him watch John Wick or whatever, Suicide Squad. But it's a little bit weird about him watching sex stuff. And I have tried to examine that with myself because I can be that way too. And I'm like, why am I okay letting him watch people, like, you know, murder other people? But, like, I don't know. People having sex is sort of – it's weird. Well, and today when I was over dinner, I was talking about how I was listening to this book about J. Edgar Hoover. And I was saying, you know, his – and I said, quote, friend – you know, they did stuff together. And Rory goes, why did you do the quote? What does that mean? And I was like, well, J. Edgar Hoover wasn't married. And he was like, I see what you're saying. And I'm like, I don't know if you actually know what
does
I'm
he?
Saying.
He's like, so, oh, they got a dog, but they weren't married. I understand.
Oh, when men could be men. So anyway, yes, I'm doing some excellent parenting effort. No, they're fine. They're fine.
They'll be fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
All right. Who has a low stakes rant about drivers who aren't me? I mean, I always have this complaint. I'm calling out Teslas. I'm calling out Prius. Meredith, no offense. I'm calling out Subarus.
Every
need to get your shit together. Yes, BMW.
Every Charger. Every Challenger.
Get your shit together.
God, how many car models are left?
None.
Toyotas. There's nothing wrong with pretty much every Toyota.
Yes.
Yeah, those are fun.
That was me with the low stakes rant about drivers who aren't me. I will keep this quick, but twice today, I was waiting to turn left, and one last car in a row of cars coming toward me stopped and flashed their lights to let me through.
No.
Which is so annoying because
hate that.
They're
follow
the last
the rules
car.
The road.
Right. If we all do that, then it works fine. And again, I live in the land of traffic circles, so it's bad enough as it is. But one of those wonderful things that works in theory and is terrible when people actually use them. But like, yes, don't let me in. Just go, because then I have infinite time after you because there's no one coming after you. You are not doing me a favor. All you're doing is clogging things up.
I know. It's this weird impulse of courtesy that is misplaced. Because if we just all follow the established rules.
Yep.
Right.
Spoken like the true pedant that I am.
Yep.
Everything would work much better.
That's how I feel. Every time somebody does that, like, wave somebody in when they don't know if the other lane is clear and they're going to get hit.
Yeah. And that happens to me. I pull out of my office out of a back exit from our parking lot and I'm turning right. But I need to turn deep right because I need to get into the left-hand lane of a two-lane for a fairly quick left after. And always, I get people flashing their lights to put me in the right lane. It's like if I turn just into the right lane, I'm not going to have enough time to merge over. And they think I'm the asshole, or at least I feel like they think I'm the asshole for not taking them flashing me in. And I was like, I would much rather that this traffic just clear so I have the whole two-lane space to go into. To the point where sometimes I go around the other way now. Just to avoid that awkwardness. If it's rush hour, don't go that way. But twice today, and I mean, I lost count of the number of times today because I was doing a lot of neighborhood driving that people just didn't know how to do four-way stop. And one of these days I'm going to get hit. And then I always feel bad because I'm the guy who's like, I know it's my turn, but I'm going to wait half a beat because I don't trust the car to the left.
Yeah.
Follow the rules. Don't. I'll get through. It's okay. It's a left turn. I'm expecting to wait a moment. It's fine.
The person at the four-way stop who's like, okay, fine. I'll go.
Yeah.
As everybody's sitting there looking at each other.
Well, that's what I eventually end up doing. But it's like, no, you arrived before me.
Yep. Well, and the person to the right has the right of way, depending on when they arrive. And nobody seems to understand that.
Nope.
Except us. We're perfect drivers. We have four of us. Yep. That's
I would
it.
Take... Mm-hmm. the four of us anytime for some sort of road rules relay. And I don't mean like the mid-2000s MTV show.
Well, I do.
I would do that. That'd be fun. We'd probably kill each other by the end.
Yeah. Oh, no, we wouldn't. No, we wouldn't.
No.
Yeah, that was it. That's my lipstick rant about driving. Just I did a lot of driving today, and it was all mildly frustrating.
Grr. Oh,
I'm sorry to hear that.
And you have some grr news too.
Yeah, huh? So I'm going to bring the tone of the podcast down a little bit, guys.
I mean,
I'm
very
sorry.
Than mildly bad drivers in Massachusetts.
Well, I'm going to try. You let me know how I do. I want to talk about my friend Polly, who you may not know her name, but you have heard me talk about her over the years. She was the person who hired me to work at the store that I worked at for many a decade. Jesus. She hired me when I was 22 years old, and I needed a job. It was the summer after I graduated from college, and I was going to start grad school in the fall, and I had a TA position, but I needed something for the summer, and I thought it might be nice to have something that I could work part-time in the school year too. And I went to the mall and I walked around, and I was too much of a chicken shit to go in anywhere and apply because I was so shy and so anxious. Actually, I went into Williams-Sonoma, and you know how all the Williams-Sonoma that I've been to have like a center checkout place.
They
it's like
do.
A big square in the middle. Mm-hmm. Like I went up to that counter and I stood there, and there were like five people back there, and not one of them acknowledged me. And I stood there after a while, I just left.
Oh,
like, God. I guess I'm not going to work at Williams-Sonoma. But I walked around the whole mall for like an hour and a half. And then I was getting ready to leave. And I thought, Anne, you can't do this. You cannot leave with absolutely nothing to show for it. And at the time, I was going past this little gift store. And it said, help wanted on the sign outside. And I looked in and I said, oh, that redheaded girl looks nice. I'm going to go talk to her. And the rest was history. And she hired me, and I worked for her part-time. I was the assistant manager for a while. She was the general manager, and I was a store manager. And then when I went to work at the university, she said, Anne, will you come work for me nights and weekends? And I said, yes, I will. And so I did that for another decade. And she died last week. Mm-hmm. She was 60 years old, and she had endometrial cancer, and she had been diagnosed, like, I can't quite pinpoint it. I think it was either the winter of 2020 or 2021. I know it was during the pandemic because I didn't work as much then, so, like, I wasn't as aware of it, but it was, she was diagnosed, like, late in the year, and she had chemo, and she didn't miss a single day of work. Because you can't when you're the manager of a retail store in November and December. But that was who she was. She worked so hard, and they thought that they got it, but then about a year ago it came back, and then she had tumors in her lungs and her liver, and they did all the surgeries and the chemotherapies and the immune therapy. And then on February 1st, she announced that she had chosen to begin hospice care, and the doctor said it would be 6 months to a year, and she died almost a month to the day after that. So she was a special person, and I'm really happy because I got to go see her in that last week. It was such a weird coincidence that the store owners had gone to have a visit with her, and when they thought, Dave, the owner, said when they got there, he thought that, you know, they would just sit around and talk. They knew that she wasn't doing great, but when they arrived, they realized that that wasn't going to be happening. And the hospice nurse was there and said she'll probably go into a coma in the next day or two. So, and then what I am forever grateful for is Polly's husband, Steve, said, hey, what about Anne? I think Anne would probably want to be here, and I know Polly would want her to come. So they called me and said, if you want to see her, you should come today. And I did. I dropped everything and went down there. And it was, like, if any of you have ever been with someone who's right at the end, like, I was kind of prepared for it with how my dad was. And she was not really, she was sort of in and out of consciousness and she couldn't really speak. But when she saw me, she grabbed my hand so tightly and she started to cry because she was so happy that I was there. It was rough.
Yeah. I've been there and it is so upsetting and hard and horrible.
Yep.
And but you did the right thing. You did the hard thing.
But I'm glad for both you and her that you were there because it was meaningful for her to see you, obviously.
So her husband said, I knew she would want you there because you were always such two peas in a pod. And I was like, well, we were the weirdest looking peas then. I'm 6 feet tall and she was 4'11" and a half. And I am such a reserved introvert, especially when you first meet me. And she was the most extroverted extrovert that you could ever, like, you knew where she was. And she had this amazing laugh. Like, everybody talks about her laugh that you could hear, like, from all over the store. You'd be like, oh, I know where Polly is because I'm hearing that laugh. But I thought a lot about, like, what did make us peas in a pod? And one thing is because we're both really hard workers. Like, I've never known anybody to work harder than she did. And we've talked about this on the show, not just wanting to get a gold star, not just wanting to perform our job duties, but because there's some internal drive to do the best job that we possibly can. And that really bred a lot of trust between the two of us because we knew that the other person was really going to hold up their end of the bargain and it made it very easy to work together. And also we were very complimentary because she loved to be on the move. Like I always used to say, there's light speed, there's warp speed, and there's poly speed. And sometimes you just had to step back and let her go. And she hated any like dinky little tasks that required a lot of attention to detail and a lot of sort of futzing. And she knows that I'm good at those. So she would
And that's like perfect.
Yeah, I know. We would do that. We also had this real sense of silliness and fun between the two of us. Like she used to say, oh, Anne, remember when I hired you and you were so quiet and so sweet? And then I corrupted you. And I was so quiet back then. Like I was 22 and I was still trying to fit myself into that box of what I thought was expected of me. And I was really scared to show my true personality. But she was so authentically her all the time that it made it a safe place for me to do that too. So I would always answer her by saying, you know, I think it was in me all along. You just let the corruption out. But I remember this was 20 years ago now. Oh, God. And we were switching inventory systems at the store. And previous to this, we did paper inventory by hand, which means we had pencils and paper. And we walked around and we wrote down every single item
that
we sold. And it was monstrous. And so we switched over to the 20th century and we got little scanners that would scan the barcodes on our brand new price tags. Mm-hmm. And then it would upload them. And of course, when you have new technology, you're always going to have some technological snafus the first time. And we didn't know what we were doing. And so we ended up Sunday night, 10:30 p.m., in the very back corner of the warehouse, trying to get this finished up, and she was scanning some lower shelf things, and I was on a stepladder, and I have this really distinct memory of trying to scan a stack of mirrors while trying to keep them from falling onto her head.
Oh my God.
And we were both laughing like hyenas and singing The Lion Sleeps Tonight. Don't ask me why. I don't remember. But it was very, very funny. And she used to randomly sing The Lion Sleeps Tonight to me for years and years afterward.
I love that.
She was a person with a huge heart who loved everybody. She was a sucker for dogs, all animals in general, but I can't even remember all the dogs that she had because she always had like three at a time.
Sounds like because, Meredith.
I know. Whenever one would die, she would be so inconsolable. And you'd think, well, okay, she's going to have two dogs for a while. And it would be maximum 2 weeks. And she'd somehow have found another dog.
Yeah, this sounds right.
To come into her life because she had such a great capacity for love and for caretaking. And she was a very special person.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's too young.
Yeah. It is too young. She always used to say to me, "Anne, I'm old enough to be your mother." And I'm like, "You are not." Technically speaking, perhaps. If we were in biblical times, you could be my mother. But other than that. But I did get to go to her funeral yesterday, and I saw so many people that I've worked with from over the years. It's a real tribute, not just from our location, but from the other store locations also came, because she was just such an indelible person. She was the kind of person that she would tell a story, and then she would laugh so hard that you would find yourself laughing along, even if it wasn't that funny. Mm-hmm. Because her laugh was so charismatic and so contagious.
I wish I could get people to laugh when I'm not funny.
It's a good talent, I have to say. But so things are pretty sad around here.
Yeah.
And the day that I went to see her was the day before my birthday. You know, not like it means anything. Hey, the day before my birthday, I have to go see my dying.
She ruined my
Brett.
Birthday.
I know. This really wrecks my birthday, guys.
Anne just found a little bit of Hillary. Deep
If you dig hard enough, we all have a little bit of Hillary. Yes. But she did make us promise to have a giant party this summer. So
good.
That is the way that she wanted it. So we're going to celebrate her.
I like it.
Yeah. That's good.
Yep. And I'm going to be happy when I think about her.
Yeah.
Good.
She only brought like positivity to your life, it sounds like.
Yep. Yeah. I don't think in 25 years, I don't ever remember being frustrated with her.
Aww. Which is a lot. That's
which a is a lot.
Time. Yeah.
A lot. Especially when we work together. So many weekends in December.
I was going to say, y'all worked in extremely stressful times together.
Yep.
Like some of the most, I mean, we've discussed retail work, ad nauseum here. And it can be, you have to have somebody that you trust and that you can kind of like almost have the kind of communication where you can say one word and you're like, got it. All right, let's go. And that's a lot.
There was back in the old days, there was one night we'd gotten such a huge shipment of merchandise that had to be checked in and unpacked that we didn't hardly even get to much of it until we could close the store for the night at 10 o'clock. And we were just trying to make it to 10. We were like, okay, as soon as we close the store, we're calling the Green Mill for a pizza. They were down the hallway. 10:05, we called them. They were like, nah, we closed the kitchen. We're like, oh shit, what do we do? Until I remembered we had a giant tin of Jelly Bellies on the back counter. And we worked until 12:45, sustained by Jelly Bellies and laughter, until I broke a $240 clock. Whoops.
Oopsie.
And she said, that's it, we're going home.
I mean,
those were the days.
She sounds like good peeps.
She was. Yeah. She was the best.
Yeah.
If she had called me and said, Anne, I need you to meet me tonight at midnight, wear dark clothes and bring a shovel, I would have done it. No questions asked.
There's only certain people that you would murder for. There's not that many.
She was one of them. Oh, just to finish this up, I'm going to put a picture of us in the Slack.
Good.
Of us modeling these ridiculous faux fur hats.
Aww. That's so cute.
That's a good picture of you, Anne.
Yeah,
it's a great picture
really,
of us.
Yeah, that's really cute. You're like, we're delirious, but we're having a good time.
Yep, pretty much the story of our time together.
Aww.
So
That's all I have to say. Let's talk about spring break and be silly.
Okay. Well, rest in peace, Polly.
Yeah.
Yeah. First, should we get to the mailbag? I mean, are we going to read this letter, Bobby? Are we going to read this letter?
Listen, I did delete it.
Yeah, I wasn't planning on it. Just know, what's her name? Hang on, let me open it. Zara Starchild, if you're a listener, we got your email. And
we'll be in touch.
I'm sure she's listening. Yeah.
We will be joining you to awaken our light body 2024 as soon as we figure out what the fuck a light body is.
God knows I need it.
Same. Jeez Louise.
Yep.
But moving on to your answers to last week's question of the week. What was your favorite Best Picture winner of all time? We got a few. Madison says, best is Unforgiven. My favorite is, I always just read it as Lauder. I know that it's not Lauder. It's Lord of the Rings.
It's or the shape of Lauder.
People say Loader, I think, right?
Yeah.
Lauderfodder. I remember when the first one came out, we just called it Lauderfodder. my favorite is Lauder or The English Patient. That is, yeah, Lord of the Rings. All right, cool. I still haven't finished The English Patient. I'm muscling my way through it.
It's a toughie.
Agree with Elaine Bennis / Anne on this. But, you know, I'll get through it. Lane says Casablanca followed by It Happened One Night. Those are two I've actually seen. Casablanca is really good. The thing about Casablanca is it's one of those movies that's like lauded and, you know, obviously it's like one of the best movies ever made. And then when you see it, you're like, that's it. But like, that's because it was the blueprint. You know, it was the one that sort of set the tone. So you have to almost erase everything else that happened afterwards. And you're like, oh, like, this
think
is
about
like the
it
first
in context.
Time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is still, I mean, I don't know.
It's
saw
still
it
really
a
good.
Few years ago it's, for the first time. Yeah. And I thought it was great.
It's really good. Ingrid Bergman is so beautiful and just charismatic. And then Lane says, Hillary, I also love The Apartment. I watched it again over Christmas. It hits much different now than it did the first time I watched it in high school. Well, I'm glad my mom is mad at me for saying I like The Apartment. So this podcast is ruining lives.
That's tearing okay. families
mom.
Apart.
I'm sorry, Mom. But yes, The Apartment was really fun. I'm doubling down on it. Rose Magri says, my favorite is probably Terms of Endearment with The Shape of Water close behind and could surpass. I've just seen Terms of Endearment many more times. Parasite and Silence of the Lambs are honorable mentions. You know what's funny about Terms of Endearment is that I saw it when I was a really little kid, like way too young to see it. And my sister cried, so I started crying, but I kind of like did not understand why she was crying. But I feel like it's one of those movies that the I don't know, the thought of it is it's like this weepy, you know, mother-daughter like cancer story, and it's really not that at all. I mean, it's a mother-daughter story. It's honestly like kind of a weird movie. Like it's James L. Brooks. Like he's not doing a cancer weepy. It's weird. It's good. It's a really good movie. I've seen it pretty recently. It's good. And it is very sad in the end. But I actually, like, it's not as weepy at the end as I thought. It's, like, a little bit more realistic, I think, than what would actually happen, you know, when somebody dies of cancer. Spoiler alert. But I thought it was really good. Sorry. If you didn't know that, it's from 1983. If you didn't know that she had cancer, then sorry.
Oopsie. But it's another one of those movies with Jack Nicholson as a romantic lead.
I know.
Which
I know.
Just don't understand.
The only thing I like about it in that is that he's like supposed to be like a drunk kind of loser former astronaut. And so I'm like, well, that's good. That like fits because he's like a carousing loser. But yes.
He does play like a sad sack a lot.
Yeah. We're like, okay, you have like a pot belly. What's going on? And he also, he won Best Supporting Actor for that, which is like Shirley MacLaine won Best Actress. He won Best Supporting Actor. Yeah, they won, like, all of them. They, like, won Best Picture, Best Director, like, la, la, la. Okay, this one makes me laugh because I recently had experience with this one. Kalina says, Forrest Gump, I was 14 when it came out. For some reason, my best friend and I watched it a million times when it came out on VHS. It's still our thing. Rory, unsurprisingly, watched it a couple weeks ago.
Of course he did.
And I was like, I knew every beat of that movie, just, like, down. And I have not seen it in 20 years. I don't remember the last time I watched Forrest Gump. And he was like, wow, you really know a lot about this movie. I said, I saw it 5 times in the movie theater because it was the summer before I got my license. It was just like what we did. We just went to go see Forrest Gump. It was, I can't explain like how much Forrest Gump like took over our nation that summer. Like it was just everything.
It's everywhere.
Was Forrest, everywhere. The soundtrack was everywhere. It was just a thing. And now watching it, it is... You know, I mean, Robert Zemeckis is Robert Zemeckis. He can tell, like, a good story, even if it's, like, hackneyed and corny and it's, like, boomer, like, porn. But you wouldn't do that today. You wouldn't. I mean, all of these sort of simple, quote-unquote simple people played by...
Oh, I've ranted on this before.
Yes, yeah.
It goes back to the Tropic Thunders.
Yes.
You never go full R-word.
Yes.
In that. But I have a real problem with the idea of the saintly person of disability, because that takes away their humanity in a way that's gross. And I'm sure that I've never seen it. I have taken a firm stance against that since it came out. I was like, nope. I'm sure Tom Hanks did it with the best of intentions, but not for me.
No, it's, I mean, there's so, but it's like, you know, Jenny's sort of slutty and she dies of AIDS. Again, sorry, spoiler alert for a movie from 1994.
God damn it.
I'm pretty sure that's one that you can't spoil.
No, everybody knows that.
The interesting thing about Forrest Gump is it was such a big hit. It was so just like huge and it won Best Picture, but it was up against Pulp Fiction, which in the long run, that's the movie that changed movies. You know, it wasn't Forrest Gump, really. I mean, I guess the technology maybe a little bit, but it was Pulp Fiction. You know, that was the year of like the indie becoming, and Miramax like kind of becoming the kings of a certain kind of
what
cinema.
Was that? What was that?
Then Miramax. Unfortunately, he produced a lot of really good movies. He sucks ass, but Harvey Weinstein was okay, and then finally Carolyn
wait. I want to interrupt for a second to talk about just a little bit more about Forrest Gump.
Okay,
did any of you we are starting to watch SNL again lately, just I don't know why, on delay, and we watched the we watched the Shane Gillis episode, and I mainly wanted to see it because I was not familiar with his work, really. I know that he's like one of the most popular comedians today on the Tiki Talki, and he does not come up in my feed, and I do not listen to his show or whatever. And so I wanted to see what all the hype was about. And the hype, spoiler alert, was that he's not very funny.
His monologue was pretty rough.
Yeah. And actually, most of the episode was pretty rough. But they did a bit of Forrest Gump's high school reunion, and they went to high school together. Yeah. And Shane Gillis' character doesn't know any of the Forrest Gump story, but everyone else knows all of the Forrest Gump story. It actually did a pretty good job lampooning like just how ridiculous of a phenomenon Forrest Gump was in the world. So mm-hmm. I would say go watch that one sketch if you're going to watch anything from that episode.
It spawned a chain of restaurants, for God's sake.
Yeah, that was our last meal in Cancun before we flew back, was a bubblegum shrimp in the airport.
You know, it's weird because it's like they have to do these sort of movies like Forrest Gump is one, and I'm trying to think like Walter Mitty. It's like these men who sort of are floating through time, and it like they, or like Benjamin Button, honestly, is kind of like that. Like they are sort of witness to big historical events, mm-hmm. and they're sort of like neutral on these events. They're not pro or against anything. They just are there. That's kind of what it feels like. But yeah, it's a very, very, very silly movie. And Mom, I do agree with you that my mom hates Forrest Gump. So Mom, there we go. I've made amends. I also dislike
Forrest
Gump.
Me too, Kathleen. To the point I've never seen it. Yeah.
Okay, and finally, Carolyn says, everything, everywhere, all at once. Yes, it is the newest on the list, but I love Kung Fu absurdism. Having a deep philosophical core makes the movie buoyant and keeps your interest when it starts to get long. Michelle Yeoh has been a favorite actress of mine since I saw Heroic Trio, so I was excited she got this incredible role. Also, how can you not love rocks with googly eyes? I'm also true. I'm also going to put in a quick plug for Wings. Despite being silent and nearly a century old, it will suck you in and it is pretty enjoyable. I mean, it's on my list because I have to watch all the best Oscar, mm-hmm. Best Picture Oscar winners. So I will be tune in at some point. Oh, I don't know if I talked about, I think I talked about this last week, but I tried to watch Gigi, and that movie is fucking weird, and I will finish it, but it's, I mean, it's pretty because it takes place in like Paris and, you know, turn of the century, but Thank Heaven for Little Girls is such a gross song sung by like a 70-year-old man. And it was stuck in my head for like a week. I kept going like, Thank Heaven for Little Girls. It's so gross. And it's exactly what it means. Like, it's exactly what it means. There's no like, it's, he's like, and then they grow up to be beautiful. You need to find a younger woman. Ugh, disgusting.
Okay, John Mayer.
I know, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking of. Anyway, thanks, y'all. I like thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think about what mine would be. And I think from a purely, if we're talking favorite, I think it has to be West Side Story.
Yeah, it's a good
because
one.
Because I never do not cry.
I know.
When I watch
I
the end of West Side Story. And Maria's like, how many bullets in this gun, Gino? How many people can I kill and still have one bullet left for me? And I'm just like,
I mean, we all know what mine is, 2015.
Oh, well.
Green Book, obviously.
That's up there. And then I would say, I have to say thank you again to Christy for choosing this movie. Because out of all of these films, probably Moonlight is the most beautiful piece of art that I've ever watched in my life.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty damn good.
Yep.
Yeah.
I know I'm a middle-aged white guy, but... And I'm not going to say The Departed. It's my favorite, but...
You're going to say The Departed.
I mean, it's a good movie, but...
It is.
No, I mean, it's The Godfather, one and two.
And, you and Rory can talk about this together.
I don't know if they would be my top, you know, like my top two movies of all time. But as far as Oscar winners go, I mean, The Godfather's just sort of the goat on so much of that, so...
What if I was like... Ordinary People or like the Deer Hunter
of Crash.
No, well, God, I already made my Green Book joke, so I gotta
oh my God. Yeah, no, there's a Crash was God. Now in retrospect, like I think at the time I had seen Crash and I was like, this movie sucks. I had not seen Brokeback Mountain and now watch it. You're like, are you kidding me? Like I mean, I guess in retrospect it makes Brokeback Mountain stand out so much more because you're like, really? But that was a bad choice. Yeah. That was
even Munich was like really exciting.
Yeah,
that year.
Yeah,
in a way that Crash wasn't.
There, actually, speaking of Jack Nicholson, I'm pretty sure he's the one that opened it up, like opened up the envelope, and he just goes Crash. Like he kind of is a little bit like, what the fuck? Oh, gross.
Well,
all right. Should we go party? Should we go take a Jello shot?
I regret not having the air horns ready, but spring break. We are going to talk a little bit about our spring break experiences or lack thereof. We'll get there in honor of the season here. And in part, I was thinking about this because of the story mentioned at the top, which is that the city of Miami is begging people to stay the fuck away from Miami for spring break.
I'm sure all those 21-year-olds are totally going to listen to
what the city of Miami
is asking.
They had two fatal shootings last year. Like, it was an actual problem last year, it sounds like. I watched some video, and it seems like it was a really... big issue, and they kind of destroyed the city. You know, that's what drunk college kids do. So they're like instituting steep parking fees.
Yeah, it's
and,
like $100 parking.
And... Yeah, DUI checkpoints, and they're going to arrest you for anything. So, okay, Ron DeSantis, good luck with that.
I've never been to Miami. It is on my list. I do want to go. And, of course, I listen to the Levitard Show, which is out of Miami. And so
I was going to say, that's very Miami.
They moved their studios recently, but for the longest time they were at the Clevelander Hotel right on South Beach. And so like they would be talking about coming in the morning and just the concentrated sin that would be in their parking garage as they were coming into work.
Yeah, I've been a couple times and it's beautiful. Like the architecture is cool. Yeah. There's some cool restaurants. It was hard to find like an Uber driver who spoke English, which was interesting. Would recommend, but maybe not during spring break.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, On that note, let's talk about where we've been a little bit for spring break. And I think just because she's going to have the most to say, we should start with Hillary.
Okay. Should I go down my list? Okay. Yeah. This is when I admit to being a spoiled brat, because we always went on spring break. Growing up in Dallas, I felt like where I grew up, people were either ski people, like they went to Colorado, Crested Butte, or they were beach people. My family is not a ski family at all, like not at all. So we always went, for the first few years, like that I remember, we went to Puerto Vallarta. We always went to Puerto Vallarta. I loved it. It was the one time that we were allowed to order room service. My mom and I would order room service, and it was like the best. I thought it ruled. I don't remember much about it because I was like 6 or 7 years old. I do remember my sisters like partying because they were probably 16, 17, and they could like drink, and I thought they were very cool. That was really fun. That was when I was little. Then at some point, I don't know why, we transitioned out and we went to, one year we did go to Miami. Missy, friend of the show, came with me. There's a really cute picture of us with like thinking we were like hot shit on the beach. We're like 8 years old, but we thought we were very cool. So that was that one year. And then the next year we went to Fort Lauderdale. I have such a memory of this one. I don't know why. Again, I was like 9, but I remember one, watching the Oscars. It was the year of Rob Lowe and Snow White, like that weird year that they did like a little dance number at the very beginning. It's really bizarre. And I remember thinking it was really weird and I didn't understand it. And then either the day before or the day after, or maybe right after, it was the premiere of Quantum Leap, which we were talking about before. Whoa. And I
things go full circle.
we were talking way too much about this before we started recording.
And I remember thinking, this is the best show I've ever seen. This is the best trip I've ever been on in my life. Now, again, I loved it. And I think they must have known this. They would maybe go to the beach, or I don't know what they did, but they would put me in the kids camp. They were like, you're going to the kids camp. And I am such a suck up to like older people that I would be like, this is awesome. And I was just like the little camper that would do crafts or like go to the pool or whatever. I would always like order, I don't know, Diet Cokes and charge it to the room. I was like, this is my ideal like living. I love this so much. So that was like my younger years. And I'm sure we did stuff when I was like in middle school. I don't quite remember exactly. I don't know why I've like memory hold that a little bit. I did go on a cruise my senior year of high school, which was like fine. That was like the one that was, this is the thing. I did go on a lot of spring break trips. I did not go on a lot of like woo-woo party spring break trips, because my senior year in high school, everybody went to Mexico and my mom was like, I don't really want you to do that. You can go on this cruise with like, to be honest, nerds. But except my friend Katie was there. So we shared a little tiny room. I think we went to like Nassau or whatever. You know, you went on wherever, some Bahamian cruise. I do remember getting off in Nassau. And we were like, weren't supposed to go to clubs, but we found our way to a club. And there definitely was a wet t-shirt contest going on. But I think we were like, we gotta get out of here. And the cruise was like, fine. It was fine, but it was not memorable. Now, when I got to college, this is when I feel like people really started to be like, woo, let's go to like, I don't know, wherever, Daytona. A lot of people in my college would go down to like, I think they went down to Mexico some, but maybe even like Gulf Shores. Like it was very like pretty local. They wouldn't go super far, or they would go somewhere in Florida, Rosemary Beach or something. My mom had said to me, hey, instead of you going on spring break, why don't you come travel with me? And I was like, and then she was like, if you go on spring break, like with your friends, you have to pay for it. But if you go with me, I will pay for it. And I was like, okay, I will go with you.
Was she trying to keep you away from the spring break woohoo culture?
I mean,
is that what it was?
I don't know. I need to ask her, because she's not like that. It's not like she thought I was, you know, going to Bible study or something when I was in college. But so I think she just wanted me to travel with her. We always have a good time traveling together. And I think it was just her way to be like, no, come on. Like, let's just go do some like fun stuff. So, okay. I'm trying to think. The first year we went to Boston, again, another hot spring break location. Mm-hmm. But it was my first trip to Boston, which was really fun. My mom broke a piece of glass at a glass store in Cambridge and I like left. I was so embarrassed that I left and she's like still mad at me about it. I was like, I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. Then my sophomore year, we went to this place in, you wouldn't believe it, Eureka Springs, Arkansas, which is truly a beautiful place. I know it's in Arkansas, but it's in the Ozarks and it's this sort of like artist valley, sort of tucked where, you know, like where the Walmart stuff is, you know, they have like, it's near Branson, which like we went to Branson and.
Well, you're really selling this, Hillary.
But Eureka Springs is beautiful and they've poured like all this money into the art community there. And there's this old hotel that's really beautiful. Anyway, that was really fun. Now I'm trying to think, I don't remember where we went junior year. I don't know why I'm blanking on that, but we went to like Biloxi, Mississippi to go to the casino down there. But it was kind of fun. But then my last year was my first trip to go to Seattle. That was the first time I had ever been. And it was so fun. I remember kind of, again, it's not really like a hot spot for spring breakers, but I remember thinking it was so beautiful. It was right after there was an earthquake in Seattle in like 2001. That was when it was. And I remember the city was still a little uneasy about it, but it was awesome. And then we drove to Snoqualmie Falls and then we drove to Vancouver and it was great. Like it was more wholesome. I mean, I definitely drank, but it was more wholesome than going to whatever various locations, you know, Mexico or I always say Daytona. Like, I'm like, do people go to Daytona? I don't know. It was just a you know, MTV hotspot.
Mm-hmm. Cocoa Beach, I think, was another big one.
Yes, totally. Like all of those Florida beaches. But it wasn't that exciting. But it was cool because I was able to travel to a bunch of, you know, different places in the U.S. that I wouldn't have gone to naturally. And I loved it. I thought it was fun. So thanks, Mom. Thanks for making me go. It was fun. And it's kind of what I try to do with Bridget. Now, I don't know if I'm going to make, I don't know if I can make her go with me to different cities in college, but, I'm trying to, you know, help when we have money to go travel to different places and to just see different cities, both the kids. I just think it's fun and it kind of, you know, spreads your, I don't know, awareness of what other parts of the country look like. Eventually the world. That's it.
Way to go.
I'm a brat.
Well, I don't know if anyone else can live up to that, but maybe we just keep working our way from right to left here. So, Meredith, yours has a little bit of repetition in it. You have one you really like for spring break.
Yeah. I was not a spring break person for most of my college career. I worked full time all through school and went to school full time. So when I had a week off, guess what I did? I worked. I worked, you know, my normal hours and just didn't go to school. And it was glorious. I was like, wow, what does it feel like to just do one thing and not have to
not have homework?
Everything. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. For 1 week, it was blissful. So I wrote down work, work, work. And then 1 year I went to Ireland for spring break. I actually took a proper spring break trip, flew to Ireland with my boyfriend Gabe at the time, also the one who rode in the trunk of my car. I told that story once, that Gabe, and his friend Mike and his girlfriend Laura. We all went together and flew to Dublin first, and we were very poor, so we stayed in a hostel in Dublin, but it was so much fun.
That's we just when you went can to do it when you like are like, sure, why not?
Yes,
let's do
exactly.
It.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do it now, and I'm glad no. I don't have to. But like we shared a room with, it was just the four of us, so it wasn't like strangers, but there was a bathroom down the hall, you know? So don't love that part, but it was fine. We only were there to sleep, really. So we spent a few days in Dublin. We went to the Guinness factory and did a tour and went to the Cliffs of Moher and did some touristy stuff. That was really fun. Actually, like the touristy stuff I did in Ireland was kind of the best part. I was surprised. I thought it was going to be lame, but like we did a tour of a cave and that was really fun. Like we did a coach tour of the cliffs.
Cave tours rule.
Yeah. It was so great. Yeah. I still remember it. And this was like 20 plus years ago. And then we rented a car, which is great fun because they drive on the other side of the road and it's all stick shift. So the boys took turns driving the car, which was hilarious.
Well, how else do you prove your masculinity?
Right. I didn't know how to drive a stick at that point. So I was just like, I'm out of here. Like, I'll just sit in the back seat. And then we drove to Galway on the other side of the country and stayed at like a charming B&B and like did a tour of a castle. And it was just lovely. Like just even seeing the countryside was wonderful. I remember not realizing how cold it was going to be. Like, oh, this is basically just Michigan. I was like, oh, spring break. It's going to be warm. No, it's not. I ended up having to buy a coat there because I didn't pack properly and I was freezing the whole time. But it was a great trip. I think I did it on like $800 total.
Wow.
I know.
Damn.
And that was an impressive amount for me to save in college. But it was super duper fun. And I'm going back in September to do kind of some of the same things. So I'll be really curious to see how it compares to my memory. I remember I was a vegetarian at the time, and I remember there being doner kebabs everywhere and being upset that I couldn't have one. So
and
I'll
now
get a,
you can.
I'll get a good kebab this time. But it was actually really easy to find vegetarian food in Ireland.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I was expecting
just lamb at every turn.
No, it really wasn't. I was expecting redheads everywhere, but everybody was just pale skin and dark hair. we ran into some people from Scotland and we couldn't understand a word they said. Yep. We were friends with them the whole night at some pub and didn't know what they were talking about the whole entire time. So that's my one fun spring break that I took.
Wait, fun spring break? This is supposed to be fun spring break?
Yeah, I think so.
Jeez.
I mean, more fun than just working 40 hours.
I suppose. Right.
Well, I'm nearly certain that that's what I did on my spring breaks. I don't really remember really at all of them being much different because I think I just worked and I probably picked up extra hours. I know the year that I was interning at the... Well, I wasn't there in the spring, so that wouldn't have made sense. But I think I just worked more. Like, I just took the opportunity to make a little extra money. I know I've told the story before of the time I flew to Evansville, Indiana to meet a longtime pen pal I had met online when I was far too young. I believe that was technically over spring break, like, because that would have made sense.
That counts.
Being available. So, yes, Evansville, Indiana. Before we started recording, we were talking about the joys of Evansville, Indiana, and something about the Hooters there. I didn't go to the Hooters in Evansville, but I did go to the Cheeseburger in Paradise.
That's very spring break.
Yeah.
Jimmy would be proud.
Cheeseburger in Paradise in Evansville, Indiana. But yeah, we just, you know, I we're making up for it now, obviously. Sam and I just got back from Aruba a couple weeks ago, and we're already sort of looking to this fall and thinking about finally doing Europe, maybe, if we can find a little time and money, more than a little money. Although, I don't know, Meredith, maybe we can do Ireland if you do it for $800.
Yep. I mean, this was 20 years ago, so.
$1,200.
Maybe double that.
Yeah. $1,600.
Yeah.
We're too old to stay at hostels anymore, no,
yeah,
Bobby.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Not share a bathroom. Absolutely not.
So, I don't have a spring break story, but I'll just vamp about staying in shitty places. I drove to Buffalo this last weekend to go check on the house. In fact, I'll gripe about this for just a moment. It's a complete aside, but I had to go all the way to Buffalo and back, which is about a 7-hour drive, because the house, you know, we have someone staying there right now. The dishwasher was breaking in lots of different ways, and so I bought a new one, because dishwashers are not crazy expensive, actually. They're not cheap, but, you know, $500 dishwasher. I ordered it from a local appliance company because, you know, the big box stores suck, and also they're mostly backordered. And I ordered it, and then they said, oh, yeah, so we'll just need you there with your ID and credit card when it arrives to be installed. And I called them, and I said, really? It's a rental property. Can you just go? My handyman can be there. Can you just? And they're like, no, we won't deliver it. Absolutely not. Okay, fine. So I went to go. It was fine. I went to a Buffalo Phil concert. I checked on that. All this is to say I went out, and of course, the delivery guy showed up. I met him out front because Mayfair Lane's kind of funny and you got to know how to get in. And they parked and they brought in the dishwasher and they never once even asked who the fuck I was.
So annoying.
Didn't ask for anything. Didn't ask my name. Didn't have me sign anything. Just Rolled in, pulled out the old dishwasher, brought in the new dishwasher, and they were gone. 20 minutes, it was easy. I tipped them, they were gone. But yeah. The relevant part of staying places, the Hampton Inn in downtown Buffalo has become my new favorite hotel in Buffalo, which is great because they give me a giant room with a fireplace in it. But the night before, I was looking to slum it in Rochester. I went and saw my mother on my way to Buffalo, and I had Wyndham Rewards points. I don't remember why I have Wyndham Rewards points.
Is Wyndham like a timeshare thing now?
No, well, yes. I mean, they all are if you look far enough. But like Wyndham has some nice hotels. You know what it was? I think I was in Pittsburgh for work last summer, and the conference was at a Wyndham in Pittsburgh, and so I banked a bunch of Wyndham points from staying there. So I thought, a baller on a budget these days. We're a little tight with the house, you know, and a bunch of other things. And so it's just me traveling alone. I don't have to stay at a fancy hotel. I'll just do whatever I can do on the points. And a Microtel Inn in Henrietta was the hotel I could get for free on my Wyndham points.
I like that you're really emphasizing the age in there.
Wyndham. I have stayed in a Microtel before in the Rochester area, but not this one. And I thought, you know, it's fine. It's, you know, it's like, it's in that Super 8 Motel 6 sort of style, but it's not a motel. It's indoor hallway. And I was like, how bad could it be? It's just me one night. Well, I show up. There is a bunch of construction materials and like shipping container things in the parking lot. They're in the middle of renovations. Okay. Parking lot's all chopped up. Okay. I go in, I check in. The staff is super nice. It's fairly late. I'm leaving fairly early. I'm not going to be there very long. There's a little bit of a wait. There's people fighting about wanting to check in without having a credit card in front of me.
Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. So it's, you know, cash deposit. How do I know I'm going to get it back? I'm just watching this. And I go to my room and the hallway kind of smells a little bit and it's all very dated and grungy. And I'm so, well, whatever. And all the doors have kick plates on them, you know, like the metal. And mine doesn't have one. It just has the glue that was swirled onto the door where it was, but it has fallen off. Like, okay, good sign. And I go in and it just, the cushion, there's like a bench seat in the window. The cushion is stained. The chair at the little tiny desk, I always like when it's like a slick material, like they've gone out of their way to make it not something absorbent. This is a plastic chair with fabric padding on it. It's like, that's the opposite of what you should do in a hotel room. Okay. The linens look clean. It was a first floor room. The window wouldn't lock for a while. I fought with it and I got it to lock. It was kind of broken. No screen. Somebody could have just come along and sort of pushed it open. And I went into the bathroom and all the fixtures were rusty.
Fun.
And I don't know, the shower ran hot and clean and I stayed, but that's about as close as I've come to staying in a hostel in a long time. So that brings it back around. In fact, I'm sure there are hostels that are much nicer than this room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's only on my mind because they sent me an email right after I checked out being like, do you want to rate the hotel? And I just ignored it.
And do you want me to rate the hotel?
Right. I got another one today that was like, really, we value your opinion. And I was like, all right, fine. You're getting it. And so I filled out the whole thing and I was very honest. And then at the end, it's like, do you want to submit a Google review? And I was like, I don't think you want me to submit a Google review.
No.
So I'm not a snob, I promise. But I'm going to take a pass on the Microtel in Henrietta. So anyway, again, not a glamorous traveler most of the time until I found a little bit of money as an adult. And also Sam, who's really good about making sure that we actually do like good trips once in a while. But Evansville, Indiana. That's the highlight of mine. Anne, yours, yours is like the Godfather and the Godfather 2.
Yes. Not as good as either The Godfather or The Godfather 2. Yeah, so when Hillary was talking about, like, family spring breaks, like, I hadn't even considered anything pre-college. I don't think my family ever did a spring break anything. I mean, maybe my mom will have a different memory, but I'm pretty sure if the family ever went on a spring break, it was after I
was out of the house. Maybe they took my brothers on like fabulous spring break trips. I don't know. But in fact, I do believe I mentioned on our 2-Ferdy episode, I had my wisdom teeth taken out my senior spring break year of high school. Yep.
Lots of Jello shots, but without the.
Oh, get some Vicodin. That's kind of spring break.
No, I didn't. Tylenol 3. Woo!
Oh, right. I remember.
Which takes me to college. I have no memory of doing anything for the first 2 years in college. I don't know, because I had my job, which was not full time. I can't imagine how you did that, Meredith.
I don't know either.
The energy of the young, right? But I worked as a supplemental instructor, which was kind of a cross between a TA and a tutor. So when we were on spring break, I didn't have to work because there were no classes. But I just don't remember doing anything. But then my junior and senior years, I went to Arizona. Woo! Party!
Lake Havasu! Woo!
Except for the fact that I was going to see my grandparents. And I'm pretty sure it was my grandma Lundholm who invited me to come and stay with her in Green Valley, the retirement community. Woo! Where you're not allowed to buy property unless you are 55 or older.
Hey, I actually, that's appealing to me. I can't wait until I'm old enough for that.
Give me a golf cart. Let's go. Yeah.
The benefit to that is whenever we went out to dinner, I was the youngest person in the restaurant by like 30, 35 years. And the wait staff are all so nice to you because you're not a crotchety old person.
You might tip them.
And I love my Grandma Lundholm. And Green Valley is actually very beautiful. It's down, like, I don't know, it's a half hour, hour from Tucson. But Santa Rita Mountains are out there. And it's just incredibly beautiful. And I loved my Grandma Lundholm. The problem was that my grandma and grandma Forsyth got wind of this. And they had a place in Phoenix. And the politics of going to visit one grandparent without visiting the other two grandparents.
How dare you?
Was not a good thing. So I ended up spending the first half of the week in Phoenix, or technically Sun City West, which I believe also may have been a retirement over. I don't know. I can't remember. And then they would like drive me down to Green Valley, and I would spend the other half of the week with the grandparent that I liked.
Wow.
And I, one of the reasons that I don't drink and that I've never drunk is because I associate alcohol with my grandma Forsyth, and I want to do nothing that makes me think of her in any way. And I'm sure she loved us all in her own way, but she was such a god-awful narcissist and not a maternal person and very insecure that grandpa was kind of cool, but grandma was not somebody that I wanted to spend any time with. And she smoked, and she would go on and on about how the only room in the house she smoked in was the Arizona room. Which I guess is a feature of the architecture down there. The
Arizona room or something?
It's like right in the middle of fucking everything. It's open to the kitchen, open to the dining room and living room, open to the hall.
Okay,
that goes
so it's
to
the whole
bedroom.
House.
Yeah, right.
Oh my god!
And and the first year I remember going to dinner at Great Uncle Robert and Aunt Patty's house. That was my grandmother's brother, and they were very sweet. But they talked about World War II and for the entire meal, and they used slurs for Japanese people.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Like you do,
like you do when you fought in World War II. I guess 50 years later, you're still hanging on to those prejudices, which doesn't speak very well for humanity. Mm-mm. And then the second year, I invited my friend Stephanie, who had been my freshman roommate, to come down with me. She was great. We had a blast, but we had to do the same arrangement. I had to stay with the toxic grandparents the first half of the week and then go down to the fun grandparent. But I even remember we were getting stuff set up for dinner
one night, and Grandma, like, I don't know, she had so much shit on the dining room table that she needed to set up a TV tray next to the table, and she asked us to do it, and so Stephanie's setting it up, and my grandma's like, "Girl, it's very difficult to do, so you might not be able to do it." And Stephanie, she's such a sunny, lovely person. She was like, "Oh, you know, I'm studying mechanical engineering, so I'll probably be able to figure it out." And my grandmother says, "Well, I couldn't do it, and I'm smarter than you. Did you know that I tested as a genius?"
Oh my God.
And I'm like, "Oh my fucking God, Grandma." Because that's the kind of person that she was.
Sorry to laugh so hard.
But the other thing I remember that kind of put a damper on going down to Green Valley, which, by the way, is there's an observatory there on one of the mountains. I forget which observatory it is. So they have no street lighting in Green Valley because they don't want the light pollution to interfere with the telescope.
Yep.
And as a result, the night skies are so beautiful, just incredible. But I became obsessed with climbing to the top of Mount Whitson, otherwise known as Old Baldy. I think there are a lot of Old Baldies throughout the states because there's a little bit of snow at the top. But I don't know.
Just meant in Arizona.
Well,
because they all retire there.
I feel like there's one in Colorado or possibly out in Washington State. I'm not sure. I know I've heard it before and not in this context, but I just wanted to accomplish this so much. And it's not like a huge range. It was probably like a few hours hike. But the problem was that my aunt and then the next year, my friend were not so goal-oriented as me. And they were just sort of content to hike a bunch of the way up and then be like, okay, let's go back down. And I was beside myself to quit in the middle of something before getting to the top. And I look back at those days and I'm like, was I as much of a pill about that as I suspect that I was? I think I was.
Oops.
And I know the first year I was so frustrated. I was like, fine, you stay here and I'm just going to go up a little bit further. And I did. And then I knew it was just going to take a little bit more time than I could reasonably leave my aunt waiting for me. And oh, by the way, Grandma, who was in her 90s then, there was no way she was going to be hiking up Old Baldy. But she would not hear of being left back at home. She was in the car at the bottom of the mountain waiting for us to come back with the air conditioning running.
Obviously.
And so I was a little bit conscious that I couldn't like take all day on this. So I like pounded up a ways and then I was like, no, this is going to happen. And I pounded back down. Well, I ended up getting like heat exhaustion to the point where I had to make my aunt pull the car over on the way home so I could get out and puke behind a cactus.
Oh. How Arizona.
Yeah, I was going to say that's extreme.
I know. It was the local color. Mm-hmm. So that's my spring break. Woohoo!
Yikes.
We're so fun.
Shots.
Covering all of
Arizona. Shots.
My grandma did shots all day long. And by shots, I mean white wine.
Oh, God.
White wine and cigarettes, people.
Ooh, hey.
Listen. Look at the dream.
Breakfast of champions.
I'm trying to think if I could go on spring break now. I still don't think I would.
Mm-mm. No. I don't want to be around other spring break people.
No, yeah. God, no.
No.
As I wouldn't go on spring break if it was quote unquote spring break. Right. As an MTV spring break, that kind of thing. I might, you know, it'd be nice to take a trip one of these years.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Even as like a, you know, when my mom was kind of like, you either come with me or go with your friends, we have to pay. I was like, nothing has ever appealed to me about sleeping 10 people to like a 2-bedroom house. Yeah. Like that makes me kind of want to die. Even as a 20-year-old with pretty low standards, I was like, I don't like the sounds of that. That sounds bad. And girls, you know, trying to get their hair done before going out to a shitty club. Like that sounds like a nightmare.
Yep.
Yeah.
I stayed in a hostel in Union Square in San Francisco once. Like, I think it was like $26 a night. So it wasn't a spring break thing, but it's a young and poor and traveling thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. I only did it once and I was like, I don't like this very much.
Mm-mm.
Trying to think about the poorest I ever traveled. I have to think about that more. I mean, besides camping. Camping always worked, but
camping is camping.
Yeah, that's like a whole different thing.
I mean, even when we went to Cancun, we didn't experience any of the spring break stuff. We didn't Cabo Wabo. We didn't.
You didn't go to Senior Frogs.
Senior Frogs, right. Yeah.
Well, question of the week, listeners, tell us about your most epic spring break.
Visiting your grandpa.
Tell us what set off your air horns over spring break.
We want to hear, like, I want to hear good ones. I want to hear wet t-shirt concerts. What's a wet t-shirt concert?
That's well, they're saying now in my business that, what is it? Immersive experiences are the future of art performance. So,
oh God,
boy, wouldn't that be immersive? Average audience member age is 75. Let's get the water cannons out.
No, Gladys broke her hip.
Get us your most epic spring break stories, and remember that you can also send them as a voice memo, because
I want to
hear.
This might be
a fun
stories.
One to have.
Yeah. Although if you do send a voice memo, I do want to hear your air horns at the beginning.
You can use a fake name if you need to for legal reasons, depending on how good your story is.
By the way, I saw, I don't know where I saw it, but Pitbull posted a picture with Dolly Parton. I don't know why. Maybe it was her birthday. I don't know what was the occasion. But he wrote, like, Dolly. You know how he always says, like, Dolly, like D-A-L-E? And I thought it was so funny for some reason. It really tickled me.
Oh, I've been seeing a lot of Dolly content the last couple days, so yeah, probably is her birthday.
All right, should we move to Tichy Recommends?
I think Please. So.
All right. I just wanted to recommend a double feature that I accidented on. I just tripped over and I was like, wow, that was really like an impactful double feature. Okay, so I was looking for a movie that I had seen, you know, just like a comfort movie, but not my standards. And I was scrolling through good old Plex and I saw that somebody had uploaded Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret. I think I had previously recommended it. It is wonderful. I love it so much. Rachel McAdams should have been nominated for Best Supporting Actress because she is wonderful. And I'm going to model my summer wardrobe after her styling in that because she looks really cute. But it's this touching, you know, coming of age story of, you know, preteen teenness, and I just thought it was lovely. Then for some reason right after that I watched Poor Things. Well, I have watched it because I wanted to, like, you know, dig into all the Best Picture nominees.
Oh, I thought you said Four Things. After that I watched Four Things and I was like, what?
Wow, what four things? Poor poor things. And it really was this like weird double feature of womanhood, because Poor Things is, do not watch Poor Things with children. This is not one I would I never thought I would see this much of Emma Stone's body.
Rory, look into my eyes. Look at my face. Look at my face for the next 45 minutes.
I mean, wow. It's a lot. But it really also sort of tells this like coming of age story of a woman in this very odd way. It is a very weird movie. I was not prepared for. I don't know why. I've seen The Favorite. Like, I know that Yorgos Lanthimos is an odd director and he has a style that is unique, but it was sort of a nice pairing. One was very normal but about coming of age, the other one was very weird but about coming of age. But for some reason they made a good double feature, so I recommend it. I was quite affected by it by the end. There you go. Plex. Actually, and I think Poor Things is now streaming on Hulu, so if you want to watch it that way, you watch it that way as well. What is SFP?
It's just your friendly reminder that the latest season of Somebody Feed Phil is
out. Oh, indeed.
Yes. Yes. Oh, it's
so good.
Balm
for our soul.
I know. But still Phil. Just the best.
Lanky nerd prancing around the world.
Yep. So good.
He's all so right. good.
That must mean it's time to get involved.
Yep. Yes.
Our website is thisshowhaseverything.com. Please join us there. Our Facebook group is also called The Show Has Everything. That's where you can answer the question of the week. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say about the show topic. So please go and join and answer that. You can also post whatever you want. It's fun. And it's not a dumpster fire like some other pages are. So we love that. Our email is tshishow@gmail.com. You can also record a voice memo on your phone and send it in there. You can do it as many times as you want so you like how you sound. Like, that's the greatest thing mm-hmm. about that whole situation. Our AOL keyword is Tishy. Always will be. Always has been. Thank you for joining us. And that was definitely everything about our very exciting spring breaks.
Pump up the jam.
Pump it up while your feet are stumping. And the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping. Pump it up a little more. Get the party going on the dance floor. See, cause that's where the party's at. And you find out if you do that.
Like, I'm the tour guide now.